See, today I want to start a new series, and the series is called Breaking Through Glass Ceilings. And I want to read, first of all, from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1, because this is a particular moment in history. This is when David and Saul have sort of been at loggerheads. Saul was the reigning king. He was trying to kill David. David was running away. Then Judah went on to David's side, Judah and Benjamin, but the other tribes stayed on Saul's side. When Saul was killed in battle, this was a moment in time, they tried to hold the northern kingdom together. It didn't work. And this is the moment where the entire mob of Israelites gets behind King David. Okay, so 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. If you have your app, there's also a Bible on the app as well. So let me read it to you. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led us out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall be the shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be the prince over Israel.'" So the people who had rejected him, who'd sided with Saul, are now siding with David, saying, "Hey, God told you that you were going to be the shepherd." Then it says this, "So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed King David king of Israel." This is a pivotal moment in the history of that nation, just as we are in a pivotal moment of our history right now. So the question is, why did Saul have limits that he could never ultimately breach, that ultimately finished him, but David broke through those limits and conquered them? What is it that makes one guy break through these glass ceilings and somebody else hit the wall? What is it that does that? So in this series, I want to look at our glass ceilings so we can see beyond our limits, see through them to where we should be, but we can break through those invisible barriers that so control many of us. All of us, in fact, we have these glass ceilings. You know what I'm talking about? You keep bouncing into it. So let's talk about the glass ceiling, okay? When people use the term glass ceiling, what they're referring to is an invisible barrier that prevents them from attaining the success that they see others around them achieving. It's used particularly in business. But you know what it's like. Even if you're not in business, you know what it's like. You try, and you just seem to hit this barrier all the time. Do you know what that feels like? It's a frustrating feeling. So my question to you this morning is, what is your glass ceiling? We have so many of these things, you know, so many things that we can do for the Lord, but it always seems there's like a barrier in the way. And what's your glass ceiling? You know, really none of us are at our full potential, but if we want to reach God's potential in our lives, we have to realize that there are glass ceilings there and we need to shatter them. We need to break through them, not bounce off them all the time. So in this series, I'm going to compare and contrast those two kings, Saul and David, as we go along in a few messages. So we're going to look at the two of them, because one guy hit the ceiling and stopped there and the other guy hit the ceiling and smashed through it. And I want to know what the difference is. How can we be the people who break through instead of the ones who bounce off these glass ceilings in our lives? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 is a great verse. If you've got the notes there, you can follow along and take your own notes as we go along as well. I love this verse. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think according to the power of the work that is in us." See, God's able to do more than we hope, more than we imagine. And I can imagine pretty big. I don't know about you, but my imagination's pretty good. But God can do more than that. He really can. Why doesn't this happen in our life all the time? I'm telling you, it is not him. His plans for us don't have ceilings, but he promises exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or hope. But nevertheless, these ceilings exist because they're not existing in God's mind. They're existing in our minds. We're the ones that put the ceilings in, not him. He has unlimited potential for our lives. So I want to look at the steps we can take to smash these glass ceilings, to break through and actually punch through them and move on to greater things. Now, the thing about a glass ceiling, the reason why they say it's glass, is you can smash your way through it, yeah, but you can see through it. In fact, many times it's so clear we can see through it, we don't even know the ceiling's there. You know, there's times when you try and you try and you try and you just realize you just can't make it and you keep hitting this ceiling all the time. And many times you don't know it's there until you hit it. I remember running into a glass door. How many have run into a glass door? It was so clean, you just ran straight into it, okay? I've done that. This is why I don't clean windows in my house, because for safety. Because, and now they put these little shapes in there so that you can see, even if it's really clean, because it's dangerous. You can run into that. And I don't know about you, but I must lead with my nose, because it was, you know, when I hit the glass ceiling, I really hit the glass ceiling. I actually saw, has anybody seen a program on TV called The Science of Stupid? I really resonate with this program. It really means a lot to me. But there was this guy who, he had a frozen pond, and he said, I'm going to smash through this into the cold water. And he jumped and he landed, and the only thing he smashed was his tailbone, because it was solid ice, you know. And that's what it's like. You think you can get through it, but you can't. Psalm 138 verse 8 says this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. See, God wants to fulfill his purpose in you. He has an incredible purpose for you. He doesn't want it limited by glass ceilings in your life that you've put there. He has unlimited potential in you. And you may say, well, I don't think I'm worthy. I'm not very special. I haven't got talent. That doesn't matter. God has a unique and incredible purpose for your life. He wants you to conquer those. He wants you to punch through those glass ceilings, not by your own strength, but by his power. So let's have a look at some of the steps that it takes to break through and overcome glass ceilings. Number one, you have to acknowledge the ceiling exists. As I say, sometimes they're so clear, you can't even see it. Sometimes you don't even know it's there until you run smack into it. Most people can't see the ceilings in their life because they've been trained not to see it. You see, if you're trained a certain way, you make certain assumptions, you keep hitting the glass ceilings. Now, has anybody ever read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Not a godly book, but a very funny book. And there was a particular time in that book, I remember, this is strange that comes to you when you're thinking about these things, where they were playing a cricket match at Lord's and this big spaceship appeared above the cricket match. And no one could see the spaceship, because it was surrounded by an SEP field. And what's an SEP field? Someone else's problem. You see, people looked at this spaceship and said, well, that's not my problem, and blanked it out. And that's what a glass ceiling's like. You say, oh, I can't get through that, you know. And you blank it out, you don't even know it's there. You're used to operating in this sort of level down here. You don't even hit the ceiling. It's like, you know, when they train elephants and when they're babies, they put a big stake in the ground, they tie them to this big stake and they pull and pull and pull and they can't, and that's their ceiling right there. And as time goes on, the elephant gets bigger and the stake gets smaller, and in the end, they can tie this enormous, incredibly powerful elephant to this little stake because he's trained to not pull against it. As soon as he pulls, oh, that's my limit. That's as far as I can go. That's my glass ceiling right there. You see, incredible strength can be controlled by things like these glass ceilings. Now, many of the glass ceilings we face are as a result of our society. They're what we've been taught, what we've been brought up with, society's standards and expectations. We're not even aware the ceilings are there, but the first step is to actually become aware of those. That we are told the barriers are normal. Beware of the word normal. They said, oh, this is just the way it is. This is life. You know, we're told it's normal, but it's not normal. And we don't even realize it. So, you know, people will say, you can't become an evangelist because religion is personal and we don't talk about it. You can't bring children up in the Lord because that's brainwashing them. You can't make more of your life just, you know, because you're just a worker, you're just a mother, you have this sickness, or you're too old, or you're too young, or you're divorced, or you're disabled, or something like that. So they will tell you what you can't do with your life. They won't tell you what you can do with your life. And God can tell you what you can do with your life. That's the thing. It's a glass ceiling. Romans 12 verse 2 says this. Probably know this verse well. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? the renewing of your mind, not the removing of your mind. Pentecostals think it's the removing of your mind. I'll just chuck my mind out and go like this, and I'll sing myself into a stupor and clap myself out of it. No, it's not the removing, it's the renewing of your mind. And as you read his word, your mind is renewed and you start to see, what's the next bit say? That you may test and discern the will of God is what is good, pleasing and perfect will. If you want to know God's will for you, you've got to recognize there's a ceiling there and give it to the Lord. See, part of renewing your mind is acknowledging that these glass ceilings even exist, but also recognizing that though glass ceilings might limit us, they don't limit God. See, God sees infinite potential and we don't. The first step in overcoming it is to know it exists. So why does it seem so hard for us to realize we're not perfect, that we have these ceilings? Many of us don't even want to acknowledge it. We want to go to church. We paint on a happy face. We come to church and we praise God and we pretend that everything is well, when in fact, in many areas of our life, we are being held down. We're being hindered and it's causing us to stumble because our glass ceiling will never be broken until we recognize that we have one. Or more than one in various areas of our lives. So first thing is to recognize. Second is to identify. What are the invisible barriers that you face to spiritual maturity? You may not even see them. You may need to ask God where they are. God, what is it that's holding me back? What is it that's forming this ceiling in my life? And as we explore this over the coming weeks, I'm going to identify barriers that King Saul had, that David had, and we'll try and figure out why David broke through and Saul didn't. Because we all face glass ceilings in our life, and it's important to figure out what and where they are. So let me ask you, have a look at your life right now. Examine yourself. Is your glass ceiling fear? Is it impatience? Is it denial? Is it stubbornness? Is it your upbringing? Is it your finances? Is it your spouse? Is it your job? Your church? Your need to control? Your need to be needed? All of these things can hold us back. What is it that becomes a ceiling in your life that stops you becoming the person God wants you to be? Because he says in Jeremiah chapter 29, we know this verse well, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to hurt you? No. Plans to make you a failure? No. Plans to limit you? No. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future and a destiny and a way to serve. Plans that will blow your mind if you would just recognize where the ceilings are and let him punch through for you. He has plans for your life, your ministry, your part in his great plan for our nation. But he hasn't put the ceilings in place. Don't think, well, I keep hitting this ceiling because God's put it there. He hasn't. He has unlimited potential. We are the ones who put the ceiling there. And if we're obedient and we serve him, then we will find a way to break through those self-imposed ceilings. So the third thing you need to look at and consider is you have to decide it's time to break through. The thing about that elephant tied to the stake is that he's content in that. He's comfortable. And sometimes we are in bad situations, bad homes, bad families, bad work situations, whatever, and we just, it's the devil, you know. We just say, well, I'll just stay here because I'm okay, really. I'm not so bad. I'm getting by. Jesus didn't die on the cross so you could just get by. He has a destiny for you. And until you start tugging again at that stake, until you start hitting that glass ceiling and saying, where can we punch through this thing? You won't recognize your destiny. You won't even see it. So you have to make a decision. This morning, I hope that, you know what? I'm done with I'm going to break through this ceiling. This is the time that I'm going to break through the ceiling. I remember years ago, I was on a missions trip in Pune in India. Who's been to India? Anybody been to Pune? Nice little town full of orange-robed Western people. It's a bit weird, but anyway. I met a young lady there with two little kids. And I talked to her and I found out she's a single mum on no fixed income. And there she is on the mission field for a year. With two little kids in India. Man, that sounds like a disease or two, doesn't it? You know, can you imagine kids running around in India? But, and I said to her, how can you as a single mum managed to get onto the mission field with your kids. And she turned to me and she said this, I'll never forget it. She said, why should being a single mom stop me from what God has for me? See, there's no ceiling there. The world will tell you, you're a single mom, you can't do this. You can't afford to do it. You haven't got any money, you can't do it. That's what I love about Sharon. She goes around the world more times than most of you on nothing. I'm pretty sure she just stows away on Qantas occasionally, turns up in, you know, I don't know, Afghanistan or something. It's just, but she does it by faith. She's not made of money. Are you made of money? No. But she does it by faith, and God opens the doors because she hasn't got the ceiling that most of us have with regard to finances and with regards to mission. I meet so many people who want to serve the Lord. They want to make a difference. I'm sure that's you. I want to make a difference in this world. I don't want to sail through this world and finish and that's it. I don't want to just be on this little wheel like a mouse running round and round and round, and then in the end, you know, I drop off the... That's not for me. I want to make a difference. I want the world to be different because I was here. I want to do something amazing for Jesus. I'm not sure that's you. I want to win my community to Christ. I want to do all this. But the problem is we say that, but other things demand our attention all the time. And I meet people all the time. Some of you here would be in this boat. You know, you want to do great things for God, but you say, you hit a barrier every time you try to move ahead. Sometimes it's the tyranny of the urgent. I am so stuck in the tyranny of the urgent, it's difficult. That means I do what's urgent, not what's important. Is anybody here like that? I'm not the only one. I get overwhelmed with the urgent stuff and I don't do what's ultimately important, and I'm trying to change that mentality myself. But many times you want to do something else first. So people say to me, just let me build my business. When my business is going well, then I'll come and serve in the church. Just let me bring my family up. I've got young kids now. I can't do it now. When my family's brought up, I'll go and serve in the church. Just let me buy that house. You know, finances are tight. I need to buy a house. As soon as when I buy that house, then I'll start to serve the Lord. Or let me buy that car. Just let me buy that computer, and then I'll serve God. Then I'll get involved in church. Look, I'd love to get involved, but, you know, there's things I have to do. And then when I've done those, I'll come back to the church. But they never get back to the church because there's always something else to do. The devil doesn't have to cause you to drift off into sin. He just has to neutralize you. And if you just chase all of that stuff your whole life, you will be neutralized. You will get to the end of your life and you'll look back and say, man, what did I even do for God? My aim in life is to go to heaven and bring as many people as I can with me. That's my aim. What's your aim in life? Because, you know, God has so much for you, so many things you can do to serve him, but we put these ceilings in place because we, just let me do this first and then I'll get there. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says this, behold, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Not, well, when your job's stable and when you... Man, some of the people doing the greatest things for God are completely unstable, and I mean that kindly. I'm completely unstable at times. You know, if we wait until it's perfect, you will never get there. If you wait until things are perfect to serve the Lord, you just won't. Stop offering excuses and start offering your body as a living sacrifice. It's time to stop letting other ultimately less important things control what is really important in the future. Fully engaging with God and engaging, serving him in our nation where he's put us. So money, work, career, family, houses, possessions, reputations, they're all important. But none of them, not a single one of them is as important as obeying God. That's the most important of all. And here's Jesus' promise. This is, you know, we've got to get over some of this stuff that is just ingrained in us and see beyond it. And the way you do that is you turn to the Word of God and look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6. If you're worried about all the stuff you got to do, look at Matthew 6, 31. It's on your notes there. Listen to what he says. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Jesus says. For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So don't be anxious about all those things. And then the next verse, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. That's the thing. All the things you're worried about doing before you serve Jesus, if you serve Jesus, you get them anyway. It's incredible. I can attest this so many times in my life. I have seen this where I've decided, I made a conscious decision. You know what? I am going to get into God, not the other things. I'm going to put God first. And all of a sudden, the other things just flow along. So today I urge you to stop putting off and deciding to break through later once you've done this, or stop thinking that you're too old, that's a ceiling, or you're too young, that's a ceiling, or your kids are too old or too young, that's a ceiling, or you haven't got any money, that's a ceiling. It's time to put that aside and say, you know what, I'm going to break through that. I'm going to smash through that. So the fourth thing is to test the ceiling. When you detect that you have a ceiling in your life, some of you just dive off the deep end and smash into it. But most of us are too frightened to do that. Am I right? So what is wise to do is to test any boundary, and you need godly wisdom. See, any boundary can be broken through, but there are ways to do it and ways not to do it. So you can dive off the deep end if you like, but sometimes you come a cropper. I would rather test it a little bit. You with me? You know, if I've got a nice pool, but it's a chilly day, some of you will just dive into it. Some of you will go like that, yeah. Won't you? Because if I'm going to freeze something off, I would rather it was my big toe than everything. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6 says this. This is what Solomon said. This is wisdom. Listen to this. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. What he's saying is test it. Have a go. Check it out. See, there are a number of great things that you can do to break through your glass ceiling. Some are more effective than others. Some are more costly than others. I don't know the best way to break through your glass ceiling, but God does. And if you come to him, he will show you the way. So try things, test them, see what works. But if you want to fast track the process, does anybody like fast tracking? I do. Patience is not one of my virtues, I'm telling you. I would rather hasten the whole thing, get it happening fast as possible. So if you want to fast track the process and minimize the pain and the cost, seek godly wisdom. Not man's. The Bible talks about wisdom from beneath and wisdom from above. We want the above one. So, you know, come to church, listen to the sermons, get the app, figure out how to use it, seek godly advice, read his word. If you're smart, you'll do whatever it takes to gain godly wisdom and insight and fast track the process. And according to James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you're not sure, if you lack wisdom, ask God and talk to godly people and search his word. See, get God's wisdom and perspective, and you can test the boundaries with a lot more confidence as to where the ceilings might be and the breakthrough points might be. The fifth thing is to start breaking through and keep going. So many people fail to break through their glass ceilings because they don't do it long enough. They tap, tap, nah, that's not going to work. Man, you need to do more than tap. Push in, keep going. They pray, they ask God, they try for a little bit. Yeah, I get tired, I've got discouraged. And then many times they give up just when cracks are appearing. Toughened glass is chemically or heat treated to make it super tough. They used to make windscreens in toughened glass, did they not, Rod? Now they changed over to laminated glass because toughened glass, as tough as it is, it has a particular problem with it. How many of you have smashed a windscreen years ago and seen this? Just raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about what the problem is. If I have a rock come out of a truck kicks up a rock, and I've got one in my windscreen at the moment, smashes it, there's a little crack appears because it's laminated, okay? And the crack appears, and it takes a long time to actually, and it sort of has a crack across the window. But toughened glass was different. It was a mega hard surface, which makes it toughened, and that's why they used it in windscreen. But when you break through the surface, Once that skin is penetrated, the entire glass panel forms a million tiny pieces like this, and you can't see anything. I remember we had a smashed windscreen once when I was a kid. The entire windscreen went white in an instant while we're traveling, or someone had thrown something from the side. It had hit the windscreen. The whole windscreen went white. And my dad's doing 100 Ks along a very remote road. In fact, we found out later that that was actually thrown by a convicted murderer who was trying to stop a car because he thought, if I smash the windscreen, the car will stop. And the car after us did stop and he murdered them. Right? But our windscreen went white, and my dad said after, he said, I just knew I had to keep going and knew I shouldn't stop. So he just punched through it and sort of ripped it apart, cut his hand, and then he could see where he was going. So that was when God spoke. It was an incredible moment. So in your quest to smash through the ceiling in your spiritual life, you need to not lose heart and give up. Some of you are so close, but look, keep going. When you look back from eternity, the ceilings you thought you once, that seemed so impenetrable and so difficult now, when you look back from eternity, they're nothing. They're nothing, because you can break through. You see, it's a temporal thing. And temporary things deserve to be smashed. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 to 17 says this: we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Some of you can agree with that. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. See, Paul's writing from the perspective of eternity. He's saying all this stuff you're going through, all these ceilings you hit here, they're nothing in eternity. So they should be nothing to us now. We should decide to smash through them. The sixth thing is that breaking the glass ceiling leads to other incredible things. This is where it's exciting. You don't just put a chip in the thing. Once you break through that, the whole thing goes. Smash. And it's easy. It's a million pieces. This is what I specialize in my household. I drop glasses into a million pieces. And I'm really good at it. 6 months later, I find a piece of glass shoved in a corner somewhere. You know, because glass doesn't just chip. It smashes when you hit it hard enough. And once you break through that barrier, once you penetrate through that and the whole thing goes, then you'll be amazed at what follows. Who knows who this is? Anybody? Yeah, Roger Bannister, 1956, was the first man. After all the years since creation, no one had ever run a mile in under 4 minutes. He ran it in 0.3 of a second under 4 minutes. The first man to break the 4 minute mile. Now, within a few years, more than 20 other people had achieved this feat within a couple of years. And today, over 1,400 athletes have done it. And the current record is 3:43.13. It's more than 15 seconds better than that. But this guy is famous and incredible because he broke through the barrier. Once he broke through, everything just followed along. It opened up all these doors. People started running the 4 minute. They're doing it in high school competitions these days, running the 4 minute mile. But it took a man to break through, you see. 10 years ago, Fiona and I suffered tremendous financial loss. And for a long time, it seemed like nothing we could do worked. We worked hard. We saved heaps. We prayed loads. We tried everything we could. And we felt like we had a glass ceiling. We just kept hitting it. And it was pretty darn discouraging. How many of you are there now? How many of you understand this? Or you've been there in the past? You just go, bam, bam. Man, I just can't break through this. Bam, bam, bam. Doesn't matter what I do. I work harder. We worked ourselves into sickness even. We went as hard as we could. We did the best we could and we kept hitting the ceiling. But we continued to believe that God would restore our finances somehow. We just kept slugging away with very few results. But the ceiling was smashed one day after some years, I might add. When on Fiona's birthday, we had an envelope and we opened it up, and there was an investment we thought we'd invested in 10 years before. We thought it was gone. We thought it was finished. We held in our hand a check for $55,000. And that was the moment. That was the breakthrough. That was when that ceiling started to sort of explode away. And we pushed through and we've never looked back financially since then. See, trust God, honor God, keep going and let Him break through the ceilings for you. Just don't give up. Keep slugging away. I love the book of Malachi. Many people don't. I do. It's a great book. In Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is talking about tithing. I'm not talking about tithing this morning. I'm talking about breaking through the glass ceilings. But listen to what he said, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now listen to this. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord. It's the only place I know of in Scripture where God challenges you to test Him is in your finances. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. See, God knows finances for many of us are a glass ceiling, but if we punch through that, who knows what can happen? Incredible things can happen. When it comes to breaking through those ceilings in your life, you can fight, you can smash, you can hit and scream, you can blame others, you can worry and fret and get discouraged. The world will say, come on, you can do it, but you can't do it. That's the point. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Why try and fight and claw and try to do it all in your own strength when God is the one who can give you breakthrough? The better way is to seek God, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and let Him take care of it. Because if you do that, those ceilings will be punched through. That's His promise. That's what made different to Saul. If you stand back and look at it, Saul hit the glass ceiling and he just kept trying in his own strength. But David, the Bible talks of him as a man after God's own heart. You see, when it comes to breaking through glass ceilings, it's not about you. It's never been about you. It is, in fact, about God. It's about knowing God. The more you know Him, the more He will give you His power to live the life that He's called you to live. The more intimately you know Him, the more the closer you are to Him, then you'll realize the more He can lead and guide you and direct your steps. And those ceilings which seem so strong right now will be smashed to smithereens. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. It's not your strength. It's not your power. It's Him living through you that can smash those ceilings to smithereens. So today, as I wrap it up, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to have a good look at your life and identify one glass ceiling, just one, that you're facing right now. Whatever it is it fear? Is it fear? Is it fear of finances? Is it doubt? What is it you're facing? What's holding you? What's that ceiling? Is it your friends that have put that ceiling in place that you can't break through? What is it in your life that is holding you back from being everything God wants you to be? So whether it's relationships, fears, resentment, finance, I'm going to ask you today to give that ceiling to the Lord. To just say, Lord, there it is. I'm sick of hitting it. I'm slugging away. I'm doing my best, Lord, but I'm sick of hitting that thing. And today's the day we hand it over to Him, and I believe we're going to see breakthrough. Do you? I believe we are. So identify a ceiling in your life. Hosea 6 verse 3 says this, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. He's going out as sure as the dawn. He will come to us in showers as the spring rains that water the earth. Knowing God is where it's at. And if you give this to Him and say, Lord, I just want to know you. I'm going to concentrate on knowing you. Then I believe you can break through the glass ceilings. Just bow your head in prayer.